Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, good morning to all of you. And my guest this morning is Laura Monaco Torelli. I've always said, Laura, your name, and I'm going to say it again, and I think it probably drives you crazy, but I don't care. Your name sounds like you should be a soap opera star. I mean, you know, that's what
yeah,
I think.
I like that. And you can keep saying that.
I can?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Laura Monaco Torelli, starring in Days of Our Dogs.
Oh, see, that's, yeah, yes.
That's the soap opera
over.
You want to be in,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is a soap opera I want to be in.
So before we start talking about dogs, and by the way, if you have any dog behavior questions, first off, we're on Facebook. Hello, Facebook. Facebook Live. You can go to my fan page. You can ask questions through there. You can also call 312-981-7200. You could text 312-981-7200. Lots of ways to reach me. I do have an instant message question. I'll get to that. The person was embarrassed to actually write it out on Facebook and said, because this person's a professional. So I'll get to that question in a moment, having Wonderful. To do with something you know a lot about, travel the world talking about, and that's clicker training. Before I get to any of that, now I have a bunch of questions coming in here.
Oh,
and as
wonderful.
Usual, I may not get to all of them. But, so again, 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text. Good morning. It happened on Wednesday of this past week, where the Illinois State, one of the committees, it was in committee first, for our state, the state of Illinois, looked at this. So, you know, there was a fire in West Chicago.
Yes.
January 14th, 31 dogs died in this fire in a kenneling facility. And I did a little bit of research, and what I've learned is that this really isn't unusual. These fires happen all too often where dogs happen. On Christmas Eve in Baltimore, there was a fire. I forget how many dogs the fire killed. The number really doesn't matter. If it's your dog, it could be one, right? And it was many more than one. In Ely, Minnesota, I think it was, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, similarly, a fire killed all the dogs that were there, 18 dogs. They all died. So we need to do something about this. So I went to the state of Illinois, and specifically to Mark Ayers, the Illinois director of the Humane Society of the United States. And I said, I have an idea. Mark liked that idea. More importantly, perhaps Diane Pappas, a state representative, said, yes, this is a good idea, took it on, and is championing this bill. And this bill says if you're a kennel facility or a boarding facility, you must have one of the following. You must have sprinkler system,
yep,
or must have a human being there all the time.
Excellent.
Or must have fire alarms that simply ring directly to first responders.
Excellent.
One of them. And that last choice, the fire alarms that ring directly to first responders, may be the most inexpensive. I don't care which of those you choose. It would save lives, a lot of lives, over the course of a year. So the first hurdle we have passed by getting it through committee. Now it's got to go on the Senate side, and then
wow,
it has to be signed by the governor, ultimately. So
congratulations.
We're going to have, well, you know, what's more important is that this will save lives.
Absolutely.
So contact your state rep or state senator about it. We'll give you the bill number before the end of the show, so you can get a pen and have the chance to write it down. Now, you are a dog trainer, Laura Monaco Torelli, soap opera star. Let's, you know, this is the time of year, I think, if there's a puppy season, this is it. It is when people go out and get puppies. So I want to start with house training and training, sort of 101.
Yeah.
Again, if you guys have any questions, feel free to call in or text in. But this is where I start. You get a puppy, you bring that puppy home. What is the first thing you do with a young puppy?
Oh,
hopefully, great. Hopefully not purchased at a pet store.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent question. And I just want to double back and say thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. You know, I think before the puppy comes in the home, having an honest discussion with all the potential caregivers should happen first.
You mean family members?
Family members, yeah. If you have a pet sitter on deck already, dog walkers, or people that are already in your circle, should you already have a dog in your home. And really assess being flexible with how much we're willing to change our habits to help this new puppy. So, as you know, I have a now 7-month-old, young adolescent, all paws blazing, no longer puppy, but a young teenager. And my husband and I really looked at our schedules first, because this puppy needs the new family to be there to help with house training and adjustments into the new home and into the neighborhood. So I think the first step is looking at, is it feasible within our bigger picture of our family bringing in a new furry love, a new dog, and can we take some vacation time and flexibility to really help this new puppy adjust? Because we can't just bring the puppy in and crate it for 8 hours and go to work and think it's going to be okay, because it's not. He or she will not.
Is crate training a good idea, though?
That's a great question. And I always think of Ken Ramirez whispering, "It depends."
So let's explain now. Ken Ramirez is...
Well, Ken Ramirez was my first boss at...
He's your boss again, in a way.
He is, yes, through Care and Prior Clicker training. So it depends. You know, as we... I always think about the three E's when we get a new puppy. We're excited, exhilarated, and exhausted. And the exhaustion part wanes as the puppy learns house training and it grows and develops as far as learning when to eliminate and getting comfortable. So crate training really depends on what is the puppy showing you as the owner, with its comfort level contingent on being around the crate, in the crate. So doing a lot of crate games without just closing that door and just displacing or pushing the puppy in, letting the puppy show us by chewing, you know, stuffed Kongs or other items for duration with the door open under supervision, that's one tell that place called a crate has positive associations.
So if we make a positive association with it, and I think we should too, isn't that better than the puppy being out home alone eating on pillows? Because the puppy doesn't know any better.
Absolutely.
And or the electric cords where the puppy could die.
Absolutely. And, you know, Steve, you bring up a great point, because for that puppy, everything is a toy. And puppies use their mouths to communicate and to interact with their world. So their mouths are on our hands, like you said, on cords or pillows. And then we have an ingestion concern where they could end up at the vet because they swallowed something they shouldn't. And that's a whole other problem.
But if it can be avoided, why not?
Or now, kitty gates, X-pens,
yes.
Crates, absolutely.
All right. House training 101.
Yes. Oh, boy. Well, fecal sample to the vet right off the bat to rule out any potential intestinal parasites.
And one thing that I love about you is that, first of all, you talk like a veterinarian because it's early in the morning, but you don't care. And the second thing is that you work with veterinarians, and that is so exceptionally important.
Yes.
And I will tell you what you've done and began doing years ago at that time with Dr. John Sarabasi has become a model around the country. So thank you for that.
Oh.
And that is a behavior consultant or dog trainer working in tandem with a veterinary professional. And I love that, with the whole veterinary team, not just the veterinarian.
Thank you for
creating that. Now, House Training 101.
Yep. So you have brought your puppy in for a wellness checkup at the vet. They run a fecal panel. They make sure there's no intestinal parasites, because if there are, it's going to make the puppy have to eliminate with urgency. Supervise. So their bladder muscles aren't fully developed yet. And for those of us that have large breed dogs, I have Ridgebacks. They're a large hunting dog.
Rhodesian Ridgebacks.
Yeah. Don't forget that as we're upping their caloric intake, we need to up the bathroom breaks. And that's one area of regression that I see with my puppy client teams.
That's a good point.
They are upping the caloric intake because this little puppy is ravenous. They're so hungry because they need those calories while they're growing. But then the owners are like, well, why are we seeing increased accidents? And I'll say, have you upped their caloric intake? Or maybe you gave them a new treat, but you didn't watch them closely. That's something to keep in mind. If it's a hot day, if they're drinking water, up the bathroom breaks. And I love data. So keep a little journal. What time did you feed your puppy? What time did the puppy pee and poop? Where did they pee and poop? And associate peeing and pooping where you like it with a potty party and treats and happiness.
Not later, though. Pretty much right after. I mean, right as the dog is going,
yes.
Almost.
Yeah, like let them do their business. Kind of be calm and quiet. Let the business happen. And as soon as that last drop comes out.
As soon.
Then it's woohoo, special treat. For our dogs, they have a potty pen in the backyard, even though we have a fenced backyard. So they learn to eliminate in a specific area. And then as they get older, we expand it. So then we use playtime outside the potty pen as a reinforcer.
I love that. I love that part of it. Speaking of backyards, one of the questions that I have, 630, my dog barks in the yard. I don't know how old this dog is, but my dog barks in the yard at passersby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the neat thing about barking is it's how dogs talk. So some of us as humans, we're very gregarious and social. We like to talk a lot at our neighbors across the fence line, and some of us don't. So something to keep in mind is that your dog's barking serves a function or a purpose. So when we look at behavior and we break it down, we look at what's the cue in the environment. So it's the person walking by the fence, the dog barks, and if the person keeps walking away, your dog is an awesome guard dog or alarm dog, so to speak, because their barking made the person keep walking. It might not be behavior you want more of, but just to think about
from the dog's perspective.
Dog's perspective. Yeah. Barking was an effective behavior to make that person keep on walking by.
And or sometimes it's boredom in backyards.
Yeah.
It's just fun to do.
Right. Well, unfortunately, some people use their backyard as a babysitter and they're not back there with the dog.
That's my line. I love that.
I stole it from you. Yeah. So why not? Why not?
Backyard is not a babysitter. That's mine.
So why not be in the backyard with your dog?
Yes.
And, well, I would have special treats. So for your guest that called or texted in, great question. Be in the backyard with your dog with special treats and notice when your dog doesn't bark. Catch the good, capture it, and then give your dog a treat. And it's going to take time to teach your dog that the absence of barking gets something special.
And or give your dog other things to do. Because
absolutely.
If something is in your dog's mouth,
yeah.
Or your dog is busy
toys.
Going after these toys, yeah, then your dog's not barking. Or supervise your dog in the backyard in the first place.
Bring the training into the backyard, absolutely.
Yep, we agree. You know, pets aren't like family. They are family.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's why the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago, yay,
cool,
one of your
yeah.
favorite places, oh, I know, are always there when you need them. You might run into Laura Monaco Torelli over there. You never know.
Yeah.
They're located at the corner of Belmont Western and Clybourne, as also you know. MedVet provides emergency, specialty, and critical care 24/7.
They're wonderful.
They are indeed always there when you need them. You know, it's fun when I go to special events, Laura, and I happen to be, there's a setup for MedVet Chicago there. There's a line of people, and some are asking questions. You know, my dog is doing this. What do I do? My cat is doing that. What do I do? But some are there, a lot of them are there just to say thank you because they've had such a wonderful experience. You must get that a lot, too.
Yeah,
I've got a 4-year-old dog now, but Laura, you're the one that set me up on the right track. In fact, on Facebook, I saw some of that.
Yes, that was Team Dylan. Yes, she did a lovely post from our puppy class years ago.
So, MedVet Chicago, as I said, at Clybourne, Western, and Belmont, kind of where they come together. Phone number 773-281-7110, medvetforpets.com. 773-281-7110. Laura and I are just talking off the radio. We're talking about Jimmy DeCastro's dog, actually.
Yeah.
I could say that on the radio. I suggested that you work with this dog because I knew I was going to be in and out of town. And, of course, you did a great job. 312-981-7200. We are talking about dog training and socialization. I want to ask you about clicker training. We have several questions here. So the first one, text 312-981-7200. You were talking about house training, Steve. Do some of us have unrealistic expectations? I think that is a perfect question.
I do, too. And thank you. Thank you to your listener for sending that one in.
630. So 630, thank you.
630, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and you know, that is a perfect segue to my job as a professional trainer. When families invite me to help them with their puppy training goals, and my online questionnaire, one of the questions asks about their dog's elimination, their puppy's elimination, and what the schedule looks like. So when we have this young puppy, we have to keep in mind that, you know, this is a puppy. They don't have the bladder muscles. They haven't learned to hold their elimination that long. And this is where leaning on and having a plan. What's your plan before you bring the puppy in your home for a trusted source, a friend, a pet professional, to help give your puppy potty breaks should you have to work a long day?
Sure.
Some of us get to bring our puppy to work. But, you know, I think the rule of thumb is if you have a 3-month-old puppy, a potty break at least every 3 hours, if not 3.5 hours. And usually when there's pee, there's a poop that's going to follow. So we need to be realistic for what this tiny puppy that's growing enormously, what their needs are.
Yes.
And again, record it. Because when you can look at that schedule, that makes your unrealistic expectations look more realistic.
Okay. I love this text. Only on your show do I hear about poop and pee first thing in the morning, but it makes me smile.
Yay.
All right. Only on my show. So I want to ask you about clicker training.
Yeah.
What is it?
Clicker training, it is a distinct sound that when taught, it means that what the behavior that the animal offered is going to be followed by food, a treat.
And it's this little box you buy with a little clicker in it.
Yeah, box clickers, eye clickers.
Yeah, and it's like, what, $2, not even.
Yeah.
So they're easy to get. Any pet store has these.
Yeah.
I should have brought one this morning with me, but they sound, if you... Like click your pen, and you multiply that times three. Do that again,
or sometime, or I'll do a tongue click.
Good.
When
you
got
it, you're better at this. It's like Jane Goodall, who I recently talked to, and we're going to have that interview in a couple of weeks.
You're so lucky.
I am. It's like her doing chimpanzee sounds. Yeah. Do the clicker. There you go.
Yeah.
It's just like the chimpanzee lady. You're the clicker lady.
There's a magnificent horse trainer, Alexandra Kurland, who does the most concise, accurate tongue clicks with her horses because her hands are holding leads and you know, equipment. So, and then they reinforce the animal.
Okay, so we're talking about this unique sound.
Yeah.
What do you do with the unique sound? So you buy this little clicker.
Yeah.
You're a clicker trainer. You're certified as a clicker. You'd speak around the world about it. So we basically explained what it is. So you've got this little puppy. How do you use that?
Yeah. Three simple steps. We see the behavior we like. We mark it with the sound of the click. And we give the animal a treat. So I like to use a clicker under conditions where I want the communication loop to be very clear. Our voice can change of yes, good. Or good. And sometimes, based on the animal's response, that good can come across as aversive, and scary. So it might startle the dog. Whereas that click means one thing and food is on its way. But you don't have to click forever. I just use a clicker when I'm teaching new behavior. And once that behavior is learned, then I drop the click and I'll use a verbal marker, which is what a click is. It marks that precious second in time of that behavior that we like, then I'll go to a verbal marker. Sometimes I'll just say click, because how often does the animal hear click, but they hear good, good boy all day long.
So not sitting right here, but in the other studios where we were, Karen Pryor has sat in that seat a couple times.
Yeah.
And she is the person who developed this. And she said, well, I couldn't train dolphins. She was a marine mammal trainer at the time with a leash and harness. So I needed some other way to do it.
Right. And, you know, and speaking to Karen Pryor, who's one of my wonderful mentors, we used a whistle. So when I was a dolphin trainer at Shed, our clicker was a whistle with, and I've used it with like large cats, giraffes as well.
Yep.
When I worked in the zoo community, because we can't physically make contact with them, but we need that communication.
You know, if you put a leash and collar around the neck of a giraffe, you'd have plenty of neck to do it with, but I don't think it would work well for you.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. No. And I got it this early on a Sunday morning.
All right. So if you can give one sentence of general advice, because we're, believe it or not, about out of time. I know. So if you can give one sentence of general advice, what would that be to someone with a new puppy?
Congratulations and be patient. Seek the expertise of a certified trainer that advocates for positive reinforcement, management, and care, and have a wonderful veterinarian that also advocates for low stress, positive care, not just for your puppy, but they treat you that same way when you bring your puppy in for care as well.
I know you're a fan of Fear Free, this initiative that we almost don't have time to talk about now.
Yeah.
But it you just kind of described it.
Yeah, yeah. Low stress for everyone involved. It's stressful enough for that puppy to have moved his or her whole life to come into your home. So be patient, be positive, and be collaborative.
FearFreeHappyHomes.com is a good website for information. There's a lot of information out there. One of the concerns I have is that some of the information is great, some of it not so great, you know. So here's a website with really good information. Really good doesn't describe you.
Oh,
the best
right back,
describes
actually.
You. Well, thank you for joining us so early in the morning. Now you've got the sunset I've been touting.
Gorgeous, gorgeous Chicago sunrise.
The WGN Skyline Studio. Rick Pearson here next, talking political stuff, your favorite topic.
Oh.
Well, maybe not so much.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor.
Thank you.